You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to the My Senior Horse Podcast. This is for people who own, manage, and love senior horses, ponies, donkeys, and mules, can come to share our passion and to learn more about caring for our senior equids. In this episode, we're going to talk about breeding senior mares with veterinary reproduction specialist Karen Wolfsdorf. I'm your host, Kim Brown, and editor of My Senior Horse. We launched the global My Senior Horse brand in partnership with Linda Mars and Mars Horse Care in mid-2024. We offer many ways to get information on older equids, including this biweekly podcast, articles on the MySeniorHorse.com website, videos, and a lot more. Make sure and visit our website. Our guest for this podcast episode is reproduction specialist Karen Wolfsdorf, DVM, DACT. We're going to discuss some of the challenges of breeding senior mares and strategies for addressing them. Dr. Wolfsdorf is a partner at Hagerty Equine Medical Institute in Lexington, Kentucky. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Wolfsdorf.
Thank you, Kim, so much for having me and for being able to allow me to join everybody today to talk about this very important subject in senior mares.
Well, we are recording this right in the middle of breeding season, so we all owe Dr. Wolfsdorf a big hand of gratitude, because I'm sure she's not sleeping much this time of year, but we really appreciate you coming.
Oh, I enjoy it immensely, and we're all in it together. So the more we can talk about things, the better equipped we are to do what we need to produce foals.
Well, that is a great segue into, okay, so what is the most important, or are the most important issues when you're managing a senior mare as a brood mare?
Well, I don't think I can give you one specific answer, but there are lots of different things. So we can talk about a few of them at least. Okay. I think one of the most important things that you can do when you have an older mare that you want to become a brood mare is to stand back and take a look at them. It's so important to look at the whole mare, not just think, I want a breeder, so therefore we need to figure out what's on her ovaries, what her uterus is doing, but so much more goes into it, because a healthy mare will be more reproductively sound than a mare that has feet problems, that has metabolic problems, that may be cushionoid, that, you know. So we want to just assess that mare to make sure she's in good health. I like to have a body condition score probably around 5-ish. I'd like them to be on going into a higher plane of nutrition than being on a lower plane of nutrition. So I like to be able to feel ribs, but not see ribs. And I think everybody has their own kind of ways of assessing the weight of mares. So that's why I kind of to say, okay, I can feel them, but not see them. So looking at the whole mare, their health, their diet, and what they're doing metabolically is the first place that I like to start.
Well, that's a great starting place. So while we're talking about some of these physical issues, what physical issues do we see in these older mares trying to get in foal? You mentioned a couple of them, metabolic problems such as PPID, foot issues, teeth issues. I mean, the whole horse. So what do we see, and what do you like to address if you're seeing an older broodmare for the first time?
Well, I think that you can do metabolic testing. You can test them for PPID. You can make sure that they get routine dentals so that when their teeth, you know, get worn down, they have hooks that they're able to actually eat their food and absorb the nutrients. So the basics there. With regards to the reproductive system, we need to remember that, like us and humans, as we get older, everything gets a little baggier and saggier. And so we want to look at their perineal conformation. So we look at the whole horse first, and then we want to go back and we want to look at the important part when we're trying to breed, which is their reproductive system. So looking at their perineal body, to see if it's angulated, if their rectum is on top of their vulva lips as opposed to sunken in, because we don't want that mare to suck air. We don't want her to contaminate herself with feces, which then, as we know, the vulva is the window into the reproductive system. Once it gets into the vagina, it can get into the uterus, and then we're setting ourselves up for chronic endometritis and infection within the uterus. So looking at the perineal region is really important. Then we have to remember too that the cervix is another opening that needs to close and open normally for the mare to get in full and maintain a pregnancy. And so sometimes we have these older performance mares that have been jumping, that now are getting retired at age 17, that now we want to have a baby from. And so you have these mares that have undergone a very tight cervix for a very long time, and now we're expecting it to relax just because we want to get them pregnant. So we have to remember that the tight cervix can be helpful, but also when we're trying to breed them, it not relaxing is not very helpful because they're not able to clear their uterus of debris or of, say, dead sperm once they're bred. So we need to make sure that we think about the cervix. And then we have the uterus, right? The uterus can be baggy, saggy if they've had plenty of foals over the years, or it just changes as the mare matures to have increased fibrosis, increased changes that can then cause a mare to perhaps have more problems getting in foal, but also maintaining the foal. So we can start from the outside and work our way in, looking at perineal conformation, looking at the cervix, looking at the uterus and its lining to see what that is, as well as physically where that uterus is hanging within the abdomen. If it's down to her knees, then obviously it's going to be really hard for that mare to contract her uterus enough to get the fluid out. So we're going to want to try and address that too. So those are all things that we need to consider when we come to the reproductive tract.
Mars Equestrian, a sponsorship division of Mars Incorporated, is dedicated to highlighting the Mars brands, such as Buckeye Nutrition, Spillers, Antech Diagnostics, Sound Imaging, Royal Canin, Pedigree, Nutro, and many more in the equestrian world. Whether it's through nutrition, veterinary care, or education, our purpose is to create a better world for horses, pets, and the people who love them. Well, I want to mention one thing and ask you about this. I know a lot of mares who have had foals before, as you mentioned, that kind of helps to the baggy, saggy thing inside and out. And we hear a lot about a Caslick's procedure for these older mares to help keep the vulvar lips maybe a little sealed up and keep the contamination out. Can you explain that?
Sure. So I think that this is one of the easiest ways to help your mare. Okay. And how you can determine if a mare needs a Caslick is simply by looking at her perineum. If the opening of the vulva is below the brim of the pelvis, about 3/4 of it is below the brim of the pelvis, then she's going to have a hard time sucking air and sucking feces into it. So it's not only where the opening of the vulva is relative to the brim of the pelvis, but it's also the elasticity or the musculature of that vulva lips, because you can have a maiden mare, but if that vulva is really saggy and is not able to close properly, she's going to suck air. So you want a nice tight vulva with the musculature there keeping the lips together. You want the vulva on top of the anus so that, again, it's not dipping, the anus isn't sunken in. And then you want it really below the brim of the pelvis so that we're not sucking air or feces to cause contamination. So easy. Look behind, make sure that the apposition of the vulva lips are nice and tight together. You can't push them apart, and feel where that berm of the pelvis is relative to the opening of the vulva. And then you can perform a Caslic if none of those things are what's happening there. And basically, you want to take, you block the mare with lidocaine like you would when you get a cavity or filling with your dentist, so that they don't feel what you're doing. You take a little piece of tissue from the inside of each of the vulva lips, and then you suture it together so it can heal. And that way, we're able to really prevent contamination of the reproductive tract. It's probably one of the most important procedures we can do to help barren mares and to help older mares in gaining pregnancies and maintaining them.
And then right before foaling,
You've got to open them up, because yes, that's a very good, important point, because if you don't open them, then the foal's going to come out one way or another, and we don't want to destroy the perineum because we've tried to put it together. So we want to make sure that usually kind of within a couple weeks of foaling, we go ahead again and block them, open it up. And at that time, we can also pull blood work for neonatal isoerythrolysis if we want to do that then, so that we know that the colostrum has good antibodies, not bad antibodies. And so it can all be accomplished at one time.
Yeah, and that's one of the problems, especially if you have a maiden mare and you don't know, and depending on the stallion, is if talking about the antibodies, the foal can actually become jaundiced nursing on his own mom. So that's why it's important to do that.
Absolutely. So what happens is that if the red blood cell type of the foal is different to the mother, then the mother produces antibodies against that foal's red blood cell. However, that foal is okay because the colostrum, or the good antibodies, are already in the mare's colostrum. It's the next foal after that mare is going to build those antibodies against the foal's red blood cell. Now, if the foal has the same red blood cell type as the mare, it's fine. But if not, it's very important to make sure that the colostrum has the good antibodies and no bad antibodies, because we don't want the foal to nurse those bad antibodies and have it lyse the red blood cells, and then we have a jaundiced foal. So it's one thing that we can easily try and prevent by identifying it early.
Well, and this is one of the important points, I think, working with your veterinarian. If you're not very familiar with breeding and you are keeping the mare at home, or even if you just have a foal every 2 or 3 years, it's so critical to have your veterinarian involved, because there's so many things that honestly an owner can forget that the veterinarian will make sure is taken care of. So as we've gotten the mare in foal, yay us. Now what do we do? How do we help keep that older mare healthy and that pregnancy healthy until foaling?
Well, if I had that answer, I would be a billionaire. But there are lots of things we can look for, okay? We can certainly monitor that mare's mammary gland on a daily basis to see if it's enlarging when it shouldn't be. We can also look for vulva discharge. But what we can also do, as we know it's an older mare to begin with, if we have questions as to whether she's going to be able to carry the pregnancy, or if she's had a history of aborting or not, one thing we can do is we can go ahead and do a biopsy on your mare prior to breeding her. And that way we can look for any kind of changes that come along with old age, like fibrosis or blocked vessels or degeneration. And so by knowing what changes are there, we're able to treat the mare appropriately to try and help those changes. So that's where discussing with your veterinarian what we can do with regards to if we have degeneration or scar tissue in the uterus, or if we have scarring of the blood vessels. There are different things that we can do to try and help that mare during gestation to help the pregnancy get enough blood supply, get enough nutrients to make sure that developing foal grows the way that it should. The other thing that we can do is with ultrasound, it's great. that we can monitor these mares on a monthly basis. If we have a history of a mare that may have placentitis or may have lost her foal, then keeping a closer eye on her through gestation can really help you identify things earlier so you can treat them sooner versus later. So we can ultrasound the mare, or the vet, your veterinarian can come out and ultrasound your mare monthly just to make sure that everything is growing and the placenta looks okay and the fetus is moving okay and heart rate and everything like that. So those are all important things that you can monitor, especially if your mare has had issues or you know that she has underlying problems by the testing you've done before.
And I realize, I mean, there are textbooks that are multiple volumes. There are courses on this that take days and days. So we're not going to try and cover everything today, just to remind our owners. This is, while it's a natural process, sometimes it's not a simple one, especially with senior mares. So do you have any final words for folks who are breeding senior mares, whether they're maiden seniors, like you mentioned before, that were sport horses, or they're, you know, mares that have had multiple foals before, but they're getting older?
I think just knowing your mare, monitoring your mare for abnormal signs, making sure that she's healthy, you know, eating correctly, good body condition, good metabolically, and then you can monitor the pregnancy. Look for outward signs, like we talked about, if there's a vulvar discharge or mammary growth that shouldn't be there, and then just general good horsemanship so that the mare is healthy, the foal should be healthy, and then make sure that the caslick's opened, that you're there, or that you know when the mare's going to foal, so that if she does need some help, there's assistance there, and contact your veterinarian if there is any concern or questions, because we're here to help you and guide you through the whole process.
Yeah, that probably is the best tip of all, is make sure you keep your veterinarian involved. And if you have problems either getting the mare in foal or during her reproduction, and your veterinarian, maybe you're in an area where they don't do a lot of horses, feel free to ask your veterinarian to reach out to a specialist such as Dr. Wolfsdorf. And they have, I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands over your career. So, I mean, it's...
I don't want to mention how much poop I've scooped. Yes.
But it's, you know, there is help, whether you need some reproduction help to get her in foal, or you need some help to make sure she stays in foal and has a healthy foal. So we highly encourage you to work with your veterinarian and get some expertise in there to help out.
Absolutely. We're always available by phone, by email, happy to help however everybody needs so that we have a nice, healthy foal on the ground and a healthy mare. So,
absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us in this horribly busy season, Dr. Wolfsdorf.
You are so welcome, and I'm happy to help however I can, whenever I can. So everybody have a good, happy, healthy breeding season.
Well, and we've got one mare to foal this year, so she's getting close. So we'll keep our fingers crossed on her. She's a good girl, and she's very, my daughter's a vet tech, so she's keeping a very close eye on her. So thank you.
Well, good luck.
Thank you to our listeners for joining us today. And we encourage you to sign up for our weekly newsletter make sure you get the first information from My Senior Horse. And if you have any comments or suggestions about senior horses, ponies, donkeys, or mules that you would like to have discussed on this podcast, or maybe delved into for the content of My Senior Horse, send an email to me at kbrown, that's the letter kbrown, at equinenetwork.com. Thanks for joining us today. Take care of yourselves and your senior equids.